stop. Time is up.
Well, what a blessing it is to be together and to be able to fellowship with one another. And in that idea that where two or three are gathered in His name, He said it, where I am in the midst, I am in the midst. What a blessing. What a Savior, our God. Let's pray. Gracious God and our loving Father, we give You the praise and the worship because You're the one who conceived the plan. You're the one who sent the Son. The one who is in eternity past but did not become flesh until it was time. We thank You for Your perfect timing, even as for today. We don't know why we're still here, but we thank You that You've given us this privilege and to be able, as we have, to remember what it cost for us to be redeemed. So it's with that in mind that we also open the Word and seek Your wisdom about the passage of Scripture, and pray that You will make a blessing to each one of us. Give You, our God, the praise and the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was not amazed, but it was striking to me this morning as most of us were together in the Sunday school time, and Jim was leading us through the connectives there in Daniel, and to understand that God has that plan which He gave the outline, at least, to Daniel. Those hundreds of years before, thousands of years actually, before things moved ahead, and it includes a carry through not just to the first coming of the Lord Jesus, because that wasn't clear in the understanding of those who had Moses' words to read. They didn't really understand that there would be anything going on between Jesus' coming and His taking the kingdom. But, and that's one of the puzzles and the problems that we find in Luke 9, where we find that the Lord Jesus is telling things that have to do with the kingdom, but He's making it clear that it's not yet. He is not time yet to take by force to take the kingdom. Wasn't going to set the Jew up as the reigning peoples and everyone else in subjection to them. There was suffering yet to be. And then for those disciples, how difficult it was for them. And they continued in this until the very time after the Lord Jesus had died. They were in despair and didn't realize that it was all part of God's plan, the outline of which is in the Old Testament. And just to get the contrast, I want to read a passage from Isaiah. Isaiah is the one who suffered greatly as a man. His end was violent and bloody. But God used him in a powerful way. And in Isaiah 42, I think it is. I know I wrote that down as a note to myself. But I don't trust my notes, nor do I trust my memory. So you know we're in trouble. But chapter 42 of Isaiah, starting at verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Doesn't say anything about suffering here. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you up, hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You will go down to the sea, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell in them. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will rouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. Does that look like God's Son, Jesus, as he came? You know, we sang this morning those wonderful songs that speak of Jesus' birth. And it is wonderful, and these things are truly those which lift our hearts. But look at this and we say, oh, well, the kingdom started right then. We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Nobody took any notice. It was announced to the shepherds. Well, it had before been announced to Mary. And the joy of it all wasn't seen. And in fact, in another place in Isaiah 53, and I won't read that whole chapter, but take a quick look here, where it's, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of a parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. There's the contrast. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 9, and we'll take a quick look at several things in this amazing chapter. Of course, we know that our Lord Jesus had been born in obscurity, as we've mentioned. He is the one who is going about teaching. He's doing miracles. He started with that amazing miracle of turning water into wine in an insignificant town, in an insignificant portion. But he did that and began the process where his reply to his mother was, not yet. It's God's timing for me to begin to do things. when she asked him, well, don't have any wine. Well, why did she ask him? Because she knew him to be that one, Jesus. Knew him to be Son of God. She a little bit grasped it, had seen, but yet it was all mysterious to her. And then in the chapter that we have, there is this statement, and it was at the end of the portion that Willie took up last week, and I was disappointed he didn't get to this, but
we talked about it yesterday.
We got there yesterday.
Oh, you guys got there and I didn't. Oh, well. But I say you truthfully, verse 27, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. What? See the kingdom of God? Out of this? Where's our Messiah? Oh, yeah. He's the Messiah. Well, he was right there talking to them. And then, nothing further right there. All at once, verse 28. Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. His departure? No, he's going to set up the kingdom. That's what he came for. No, the Lord Jesus had his timing, and he had to go to Jerusalem, as we'll find out as we go on through here. But first, here he is. We find that they are observing and amazed and not believing, in a sense. But I've got to get to the next verse to really see that. Peter and his companions, here again, it happens later too, but they went to sleep. Jesus was praying when they dozed off. Wonder if they had sleep apnea. Well, don't know. I've heard of people who actually are driving, they come to a stoplight, and they're waiting for the light to change, and they'll doze off. Wow, is that scary or not? And hence that wonderful machine that helps some people. Didn't help Kit very much, but turns out the need was really not there. But the body needs the recharging only oxygen can give. And so I've got these neat pumps, the CPAP that pumps air in and get rejuvenated over the night. Kept her awake. So anyway, I'm thankful for her being able to get along without it. Though it bothered me some. But the point is not so much about how come, but they went to sleep. But then they're fully awake. And what's going on? Here's not just one other person, but two additional beside Jesus. And seeing them, they saw his glory. That's Jesus' glory. His transformed glory, his transfigured glory. It's not just that his clothes were white and glistering, to use the King James version, but it was that was from within. It was Jesus' glory being shown, just a little blink. Not much, not for long. It seems like it was only moments while that took place. So that they saw his glory and the two men standing before with him. Doesn't say anything about them hearing exactly what was said, but they know now. They knew afterward what had actually been said, as they could begin to cope with it and realize that they were talking about what he had to do to Jerusalem, which was not to take power. It was to suffer and to bleed and die for you and me. We remember that event this morning. What a privilege that is. But they didn't understand, and Peter blurts out, you know, good old Peter, I'm thankful for him. Sometimes we don't engage this part when we engage this part, and so things come out that are totally out of place, and that's the way it is with him. Peter says, oh, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three booths, says tabernacles in this version, one for you, Lord, one for Moses, and for Elijah, not knowing what he's saying. But then we get a change in the focus. The change in the focus is not setting up a new religion, not intended to be a sect of the Jews, but intended to introduce the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Savior. So that's what we get here. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered into the cloud. They did well to be afraid. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son. Listen, my chosen one, listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. Let's stop there for a minute to try to collect what my thoughts were as I was anticipating this. But we see that our Lord Jesus was transfigured before them, and it was seen and brought back to mind after the Lord Jesus died at the cross and rose from the dead. And then they could write this record. John had helped, and we can see many of the same things, but Luke is where we are. And we see this amazing event that wasn't made known. What's it say here? And the voice was spoken, and they kept silent. This is 36, the latter part. To no one, and they reported to no one those things, any of which they had seen. It overwhelmed them. Well, it might have. Excuse me. Well, it might have amazed them and said, I don't know where this fits. Don't see how this is the plan. And so they didn't say anything. In another passage, we know the Lord had said, this isn't for public. You're not. It's just save this till later, was the intent. And so it was. This event, so key, so amazing, is a glimpse of the kingdom for them. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Now, where else do we have that? We have that in several places, but one I wanted to look at, if I can find it, is in Matthew chapter 3. Is that where we find the event, the Lord's baptism? And we have these things brought in. And then we have, maybe it's not, verse 17, and behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The endorsement of the triune God, the endorsement not just of what we try to express as as Jesus, as God and Son of God, but well pleased to the Father. He's the Son, but we saw him, well, we'd have to read John in the first chapter or so. We find that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So it wasn't a new thing in God's plan. All three were there in the beginnings of things. Do I really understand that? No. But I believe it. And I'm thankful for it. Would glorify our God because of his perfect plan. We have in verses 30 and 31 something I wanted to just get back to for a moment. And that is in Romans 3, we get a thought or two. Chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. I don't think that's a big thing here, but it's big in terms of what I wanted to express. 3:21. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So that connects in my heart to what we're getting here. And that's God's purpose. But the disciples didn't get it. They pondered this thing in their hearts. And then we have a shift of emphasis, and we find this youngster, a boy, the only begotten of that particular father, and he is one who is having a terrible time. Today we'd probably see he had epilepsy. He had fits like I've known of and others. I'm so thankful for medications available today. We've got a granddaughter who would suffer greatly kind of like this if it weren't for the control that the medication gives. Not all medications are bad, but ones which create things in us are bad. Kids, stay away from them, no matter how important a person is to you. But the thing is, there are benefits from pharmaca, but it's in right perspective. It's like a lot of things in our lives. And so we have that kind of thing, but that wasn't available to this man. He was frantic. He had brought his son to the Lord to his disciples. They didn't see Jesus because he and the three were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so the man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son." This is verse 38. "For he is my only boy." And in another version, it's only begotten. "And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they couldn't." They had done that kind of thing, but they couldn't with this. Why not? Jesus answered and said, "Oh, you unbelieving and perverted generation." Now, he's mostly talking there about the skeptics, the unbelievers, the Jewish leaders, but he's also talking to his own disciples because they were struggling with believing that this man, Jesus, was Messiah. And yet they did confess him. They held on. You know, sometimes I hold on because of things that I know are true, not because I understand or I understand what's going on around me. But it's holding to the person of Jesus and who he is and what he has promised us. He has promised us that we will not go into judgment. I've just read that part. And now, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son. Bring him to me. Well, as he was coming, there was this demonstration of verse 42. Threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. Healed the boy and gave him back to his father. There's a verse I'd like to refer to that reminds us of, and it could be the same case in Mark 9:23-4. Take a quick look at Mark 9, 23-4. And it may not have been the exact case, but it's one that seems very similar. And we get this. And there's, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Verse 22. 23, Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible for to him who believes. 24, immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I've had to say that. Help us. In terms where we don't understand. And he gives light as we go along. He gives light for the pathway. Even to the point that we get there Psalm 23, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with thee. He does not leave us at that time. He is there to comfort, to encourage. We've all lost, well, perhaps the little guys haven't, but we adults have all experienced what it is to have one that we cherish pass away. And that's so difficult to experience, and it gets us down and to the point at which we say, oh Lord, I do believe. Help me in this hour of anguish and not understanding. But we see that I thought I heard somebody say something, so I was wanting to hear. But let's go on, and we see that none, including his disciples, understood what he meant, or that the kingdom glory was to come after his death. Couldn't happen until he died. So then we get a little bit of test of, well, what is true discipleship? So let's go on down in this chapter a little bit, starting at verse 46. An argument started. Oh my, isn't this sad? Here they're in the presence of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who is the Prince of Peace, and they got an argument. This is the disciples, the ones who should have known. An argument started among them as to which of them might be greatest. They're thinking about the kingdom and the glory of being with this one who they've confessed as being Messiah. Wait, they're not hearing him as he's saying, and he points toward Jerusalem, and he's going to go there with the express purpose of dying. What a savior. And yet he puts up with this kind of expression of selfishness. The kind of thing that has to do with me first, whatever. Well, I'm going to take a minute for a little side trip. Most of us here paid attention to a football game that was played last Friday. And most of us were pleased that it wasn't Colorado that won that game. I was born in Colorado, but I'm a Husky fan. Anyway, and But toward the last part of that game, when it was pretty well over, for what the result would be, and the commentator said, you know, this quarterback could break a record for the school. I don't remember if it was a number of passes or number of touchdowns. Only needed one more. Why doesn't the coach call a passing play? He could be a lobbying for that. But the interesting thing is, that was more than just talking team, more than just talking about being selfless. It was practicing it, finishing the game. And that was kind of an interesting thing, and maybe we'll hear more about it, maybe not. But Mr. Browning, you did good. Yes. May we be like that in terms of one another as fellow believers, to realize that it's in Christ Himself that we live and move and have our being, and through whom we can be a blessing to each other. Gotta stop. What an amazing thing that they didn't grasp it. And so this argument takes place. Jesus, knowing that what they were thinking in their heart, they didn't have to say it out loud. Jesus knew, took a child. You love children. I've got a couple of great grands. You guys have lots of more than we have. But it isn't in number, it's each one is special. And so we have that special kind of relationship with God the Father because of Jesus. And so anyway, he took a child and stood him in the midst, and he said, whoever, verse 48, receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me, God the Father, Jehovah. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great. The Lord Himself took the lowest position. And of course, He indeed is the Word. He was God and has a special place at the right hand of God, where He intercedes for you and me. We'll put our faith and trust in Him. And He hasn't forgotten us. He isn't waiting until the time in which the kingdom really takes place, which isn't far off, maybe 7 years from now. But it'll be in God's timing, not our perception. And so, so John answered, still hadn't gotten the point. Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us. He's not part of our club. Well, they had the right idea. They were trusting in Jesus. They knew him as Messiah, but didn't understand his heart. But Jesus said to him, do not hinder him. Verse 50, for he who is not against you is for you. And then there's a whole package of things in 51 through 56 to try to kind of encapsulate and take a look at this. It seems that it's the days were approaching for his ascension. He was determined to go to Jerusalem, verse 51. Well, that just kind of leapfrogs ahead. He couldn't ascend until he died. And he had to finish that. So he had sent messengers and want to get a place to stay in Samaria, a certain town. And they said, no, sir, you're headed to Jerusalem. The old wounds were still there. The human race is and not changed. I was reminded of that this morning and something that was said. But we have this amazing thing. I'll go on down to verse 55. Jesus turned and rebuked them. They were going to call down fire. Verse 54. He said, no, do not know what kind of spirit you're of. Yes, you're mine, but you aren't perfect. You don't understand the plan that the Father has for me. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. What an amazing thing. And they went to another village. And then in process, we find that as they were going along, there was somebody who said, I'm going to follow you. But Jesus said in verse 58, foxes have holes and the birds have the air have nests, but the Son of Man, he, Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God, has nowhere to lay his head. I don't have a house. You know, for the first time in a long time, I don't have a house that I own. I live in one I have to pay rent for. But I'm not like Jesus. I got some other things to take care of me, but he's the one that takes care of us. Moment by moment, kept in his love. And so Jesus is saying to the one who said, I will, he said, well, follow me. But he said, well, let me go to bury my father. He had a me first type attitude. I got to take care of this other part of my job. But Jesus said to him, verse 60, allow the dead and dying bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Tell others about the Lord Jesus. Just as Willie and Gretchen and family have been in Morocco. They've followed that call. And what a blessing it is to be to know them and to have them in our fellowship. Another said, well, I'll go, but let me say goodbyes. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's for those who can take it. That's for those to whom God gives it. Not just because we read some wonderful truths out of the Word, but it's how He, by His Spirit, puts it in our hearts. He's the one who sends. He's the one who keeps along the way. What a blessing it is to be used of our God. There are so many hindrances. Material comforts. We in this country are in a consumerism society. And so we think it's all about those. Then there's jobs or, you know, careers. And then there's even family and friends, good folks, people that we care about. They can hinder us. They can say, oh, I'll let somebody else do it. Well, our call is to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, a couple of verses that, if I can just get to it, and I keep going back and forth here. Here I am. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the mark, to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the word you've given us. We thank you for the affirmation of it that we've gotten from the time our lesson started this morning over in the portable. Thank you for Jim's faithfulness in teaching. And we thank you so much for the privilege we've had of remembrance and to be able to look at your word, get a little idea of the process that your own, your called ones, had to go through to get it straight. And it was only after you were there, Lord Jesus, at the Father's right hand, that you sent the Spirit and began to teach. Open up the eyes as to what you had taught before. Thank you for the blessing of it. We pray your blessing on this time, and thank you for the amazing grace that we have in you. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lyle.